when you think about, okay, one more time, I'll repeat for the sake of the listeners online. You are listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor, sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Once again, Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. What that means, as I've touched, is that we truly do it all. We buy and sell everything that has any remote attachment to our industry, every form of gold, from gold bullion to gold coins, old gold coins, you know, brooches, any antique jewelry, you know, rings, diamonds, I don't know what else to say, nuggets. It's important, I guess, that you understand that because people don't know. You know, in life, you make mistakes, and one perhaps was not having the name or the word gold in our name. Gold is kind of our, not kind of, gold and silver are our bread and butter products. For years and years, it was scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds was our bread and butter. We sort of moved away for quite a while. I think you'll probably see us coming back a little into the marketing audience. There may be a lot of you that don't even care or know, but we cut back on marketing a lot. What we did is we did surveys back in the day to find out where people were coming from, and they would say, oh, word of mouth or location or, you know, things like that. And so we thought, well, shoot, you know, if we're running all these ads and we're not getting anybody, maybe we should just, you know, cut back. Well, the thing that we learned was when you're getting word of mouth or people recognizing your location, it's because they already know who you are. And in other words, they've heard, you know, they know who you are. They know what you do. And so over time, we've kind of had, you know, probably a little bit of loss of visibility or something. You know, just a bunch of information that is probably about as interesting to you as watching paint dry on a wall. Which I kind of have a funny feeling you don't do very often. If you did it a lot, you might lose your mind, which is kind of reminds me of this customer we had who was a sheetrocker for his whole life. And he told me that basically he, because he would stare at a white wall all day, that he literally lost his eyesight and his faculties. I mean, he said he literally really kind of lost his mind. I mean, and actually, if you knew the guy, you would agree. I've watched him over 20 years completely change. And, just from staring at a white wall 24/7, well, not 24/7, but during his business hours. And I mean, it's kind of sad, you know, that's happened. But there's an awareness for you. If you're a sheetrocker, be very careful and realize you're staring at white all day and your eyes can't, apparently, according to this fine gentleman, he said he couldn't focus his eyes. And so over time, you know, the muscles change and everything goes crazy. And so anyway, that was something that you may want to be aware of if any of you choose to be sheetrockers. You know, this market is crazy. A lot of you know that we moved recently, and we moved into a house that needs some touch-up. It needs a little renovation, a little remodel kind of thing going. Probably spent too much money on it, which I've been known to do a time or two. And the market's just crazy, 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 crazy. It's really hard to get fair, you know, contractors who are fair. We have the advantage that we pay cash, and that seems to help some. But still, it's just a very interesting market. I was talking to a friend of mine about the Trump situation. Trump folks, do you realize that Trump was exonerated by the Mueller report? Okay, you can call it whatever you want, but he was exonerated. That's my word for it. Which means Mueller couldn't drag it on any longer. He had turned over every stone, every rock. He'd arrested people who had done things that had nothing to do with the Trump, what do you call it, investigation. But he's fully exonerated. To me, that's a great deal. That is a big deal. And it says so much, folks, so much about how far we've become, how far we've come in a bad way. You know, when you compare, propaganda, Russian propaganda versus what they did to Trump. I mean, this is a problem, is it not? You know, you think about how the communistic propaganda is designed to destroy people like Trump. Trump is a horse. Trump is a monster in a good way, a strong, I don't know what to use, just incredibly tough individual. And I heard a really interesting interview that I really found insightful here recently. A guy who went to Donald Trump's high school. Donald Trump went to a military high school. This guy said that he went to the same high school the same years, okay? And he said that Donald Trump, this will probably really surprise you, that Donald Trump ran that school. Now, he said it was a tough boys' school, blah, blah, blah. But what really interested me was he said that Donald Trump was a fighter for good, that Donald Trump actually worked hard to protect the innocent. And if he found out things happened, he would take care of business. But what opened my eyes was this guy said it was all good until, guess what, till Donald Trump left. He said once Donald Trump left, and it left this open vacuum, right? And then it changed because Donald Trump, who at the time, according to this gentleman who went to school with him, Donald Trump protected the innocent. God loves those who protect the innocent, absolutely blesses them. I believe, I mean, it's foolish to say, but I believe God chose Donald Trump. Duh, right? We know that. There's no doubt about that. But Donald Trump, final warning, or what is it? You know, it means your last warning. It's final overriding factor or resource. Trump's our last chance, folks, and we've got the left wing going ape crazy over this guy, ready to just pounce on him, ready to destroy him, disappointed. All these lies, you know, this Peter Schiff, whatever the Schiff, the lefty was. These guys lie, twist, distort, deceive. They've done everything they can in order to destroy the president of the United States. These people need to be brought down in justice. You've got the U.S. media that was, by the way, folks, protected by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, okay? I mean, you think about it. The First Amendment to the Bill of Rights. And you absolutely have, you know, they make that the highest priority of all. And we've had that abuse so bad. It's never, ever been abused to this level. Ever under any circumstances at all. Period. I mean, it's just no one's ever done it. No one's ever even thought about it. No one's ever tried it. We have hit a level of corruption that is literally, literally, literally unimaginable. Just unbelievable. I can't even believe that we have come to a point where we literally are, you know, at that stage. You know, and you've got our founders built this Constitution, and then they add in the Bill of Rights, right? And then from there they go on and they give us the ability to vote some in and vote some out, and you know, to change it as we go and as we need. So that, you know, the First Amendment in the United States, if you don't know, Constitution is part of the United States Bill of Rights. It protects the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, and freedom of the what? Press. And the right to petition. The right to go to your government and petition your grievances. You know, it says in full, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Okay? So you have to realize that these people that wrote this thing, I've told you this over and over again. They were brilliant. They did set up a system that basically protected them from changes in the future. Okay? So it was a system that they assumed things might change over time and they might have a need to change along with it, right? Well, we're fine with that. We know that. You know, we know that the Bill of Rights, you know, was basically their first attempt based on biblical whatever. But, you know, we've got, you know, the Bible on freedom, you know, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. I had someone get a hold of me here recently that had some struggles, that's been struggling with the flesh. Folks, it's so important for us to not judge. Do not judge certain activities, I'll say. There are certain things that I have zero tolerance for, always will, always have. You know, pedophilia, done, over, destroyed, intolerant. Not going to have anything to do with it, etc. But then when you get somebody who steals, you know, when they're young and they're dumb or, there's all kinds. I can make a list of mistakes people make. There's certain things. They've shown that deep-seated sexual sin is incurable, okay? I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not going to go down that road for you, but I will tell you that is that people that fall into that category, very rarely, if ever, turn their stuff around. Okay? I actually had a guy who was the president of the Spokane Home Builders Association for 7 years do a project for me. And he talked me into hiring this guy. I talked about this a long time ago. And the guy ended up being, I mean, I short story stuff, but I'm trying to just buzz through it. The guy was creepy and weird, gave me the willies. I asked this guy that was telling me to hire him, "Are you sure?" "Oh, yeah, absolutely," he's telling me. "This guy is it. This guy, he's the best worker you'll ever have, blah, blah, blah. He ends up being the worst worker I've ever had. He ruins." I mean, I don't even know how you ruin equipment. So this guy, he's got separate lawn jobs, like a lot of them, like 22. He takes all my equipment. He goes out, burns it all up. Uses it, wastes it, ruins it, just destroys it. And then when I finally have to let him go, he goes, I'm like, "Where's all my equipment?" And I'm talking, you know, steel brand chainsaws and huge, you know, weed whackers and shoulder strap blowers and, you know, all kinds of heavy equipment or good equipment. He said, "Oh, it's all down at Acme being repaired." So I get down there. And they said, "What did this guy do to this stuff?" They said, "This is like one of the worst we've ever seen." I was like, "I don't know." But on my dime, this guy was out, you know, doing these other jobs. So he was double dipping. And the problem was I was paying him way too much money to begin with. And the guy who referred him, you know, born again believer, and really kind of put things down the wrong direction, we'll say, in that situation. So let us say, "For freedom, Christ has set you free." Galatians 5:13. "For you were called to freedom, brothers. I like brothers better. "Brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Now, that's something that it seems pretty obvious. But maybe there was a sect or a group of people back then that said you could use your, maybe their whole thing was like, well, if you're forgiven, then you might as well go out and sin or something. I don't know the logic. 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Lord is the Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit is, there is freedom. Folks, it is so important that you understand the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. That you understand that you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. I mean, it is the Spirit of God lives within you. Understand that. Think about it. Think how profound that is, how phenomenal, how important that is. That is nothing to sneeze at. That is serious, severe, important stuff. So understand, please. That you, Jesus, I don't understand how it worked, but he kept saying, "I have to go. I have to go so that one greater than me can come. I have to go so the Holy Spirit can come." He was like, you know, he can't come as long as I, here we go, now we've got to get, don't know if you can hear me or not, but I am having lovely, no, it's not working. I do not know what's going on with this mic, Tom. There, we're back. We've got a mic problem here. Tom Reed's supposed to come to my studio and fix it, and I just keep hoping and praying that he'll do so soon. I need it bad, Tom. Please come and fix it. Figure out what the problem is. That's nerve-wracking. Thank you. So anyhow, if you'd be so kind, I would appreciate that. So the Holy Spirit dwells within us. I don't know what's going on with the mic. There's a cord issue somewhere that needs to be taken care of. So, you know, we've got all this reference to your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the God. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. But they rebelled and grieved. They grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned himself to become their enemy. He fought against them. That's what it says in Isaiah. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. And then it talks in Isaiah right after that. Then his people remembered the days of old, Moses, where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where he who put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them? Now, and then we get to the now. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows, and then he goes on to, before they came together, she was found to be with the child by the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? I don't know. The Holy Spirit was able to get Mary pregnant. I mean, folks, we got to realize we live in a multidimensional universe, a multidimensional world. Somehow. This Holy Spirit, somehow there is a dimensional realm around us. If any of you long ago watched a movie called The Truman Show, it was a show with Jim Carrey. And it was a movie about a show. And the whole show was about Jim Carrey being watched all the time. Constantly, every moment, every minute, and he was the only one that didn't know until he finally figured it out, and that's kind of what the Holy Spirit, I guess, I see going on here, there was a dimension that he was unaware of, and in this case, that dimension exists, the same as for us. There's multiple dimensions that are mentioned in the Bible, according to Jews and whatnot that I've heard. There's multiple dimensions that are mentioned biblically, and we live in an interesting world. I was just reading this. What shame of the nation. I got to read this. It says, the social media spread of Trump Mueller. It says, how they found this, I don't know. Since May of 2017, 533,074 web articles have been published about Russia and Trump/Mueller, generating 245 million interactions, including likes, comments, shares on Twitter and Facebook. According to data from social media, analytics companies, news whips, quick take, it says. Now, think of how much cable time the coverage consumed. And then you go deeper, and it talks about one place Mueller never comes up at a half dozen events. 2020 candidates held in Iowa over the weekend. Attendees barely mentioned President Trump. Not a single person asked about Robert Mueller's investigation or Russia. The big picture, instead, most of the questions were about policies. And it goes on, who were the attendees and da-da-da-da-da. Why it matters. It says voters are giving the Democrats space to build specific brands based on their own visions and proposals. And then it goes on, and et cetera. And basically that I did a really poor job of explaining. It's basically that now the Democrats are going to avoid this thing like the plague. After they've absolutely, completely, and totally tried to devastate this man. Folks, with Donald Trump, You are watching what it looks like when God protects a man. Okay? Understand that. This is what it looks like when God protects a man, when God loves a man. What's even crazier is the fact that Donald Trump, when he got into office, now I am convinced that Donald Trump was not a full-blown believer when, well, full-blown. He wasn't a believer when he got into office. That's my belief, okay? I believe he is now. I think there's a lot of good logical reasons why he is. The Bible studies, I was thinking of the power of the people in that Bible study they made a big deal out of, they showed the most powerful men in the world having a Bible study. And of course the left went crazy saying, oh, you can't do that in the White House. They actually believe this, that the separation of church and state means that you can only practice your religion in some kind of private little hut somewhere. I don't know. But the actual freedom of religion meant everywhere, most primarily on public property. And we've taken that to the exact opposite end of the spectrum. We've taken it to the extreme where we say, no, in public, you cannot express your opinion. And we've had people, I mean, folks, we've had people's little businesses that make cakes shut down and fined $135,000 because of egomaniacal judges. And what's God's judgment for those people? You know, honestly, what is it? I don't know, but it ain't pretty. I guarantee you that. I personally think that there's a price to pay, especially if they know. I think they do know. I think they're very knowledgeable of what they're doing, and I think that they're doing the work of the devil. And we've talked last week about inalienable rights, the inalienable rights society, that our Constitution is nothing more than expression of government run according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every right in the Constitution has a matching Bible verse or verses as its origin in order to add some efficacy to this information. I can go through, I don't want to go through all each reference, but let me see if I can find a way to make this easy. Oh, help me out here. Let's see here. Legal scholars persuasively argued St. Jerome. Oh boy, this gets deep, 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 deep. The Fourth Amendment's the right of the people to be secure in their persons. Houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. It states in Deuteronomy 24:10-11. When thou dost lend thy brother anything, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch his pledge. Thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom you lent shall bring out the pledge abroad into thee. The scripture is clear that a person's home is not to be trespassed upon by anyone, including the government. The scripture also states in 1 Kings 4:25, as every man dwelling safely under his own vine and under his own fig, and it goes on. 5. The Fifth Amendment. No person shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. So, and then you go to Mark 15:3-5. The chief priest accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, are you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of. But Jesus made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Jesus did not respond to his accusers. He knew he was innocent. This is where our right to remain silent comes from. It's the burden of the state to prove our guilt, not that we must prove our innocence. Then you go. Then they jump to number 8. The right of a trial by jury and a right to bail. Let's see here if I can get a little more, a little better look at this here, since I am getting old and I don't see as well. Are you going to, okay, number 8. The right of trial by jury and a right to bail noted in our Sixth Amendment is established in Numbers 35:12. It states they will be places of refuge from the avenger so that anyone accused of murder may not die before they shall stand trial before the assembly. That's a fair trial. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, which is, deals with money. Congress shall have the power to establish uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies. In Deuteronomy 15, 1 through 2, it says, at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts, and this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother because it's called the Lord's release. Now, let me tell you something real quick. And that's important. Why? Why is that important that God makes us release everything? It's simple. It's because debt destroys a society. Please understand that. Debt destroys a society. And God set up a system that destroyed debt. That basically, you can loan money, but you better do it so you get paid back within the 7 years. Because once the 7 years is up, it has to be fully forgiven. Okay? Now, that's important because it prevents us from getting usury, from getting excessive interest dictating our society. You go to the, you know, the First Amendment. This is where, you know, this is the most amendment, most important amendment of all. Freedom of religion. In the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, it states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Christianity is one of the very few religious faiths that do not force you to believe its faith. The scripture states in Matthew 10:14, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. No person is required to believe the Christian faith. Our founding fathers used that verse and others to establish freedom of religion in this country. We needed a system that allowed us to proselytize, to share, while simultaneously, okay, so we needed a system that allowed us to share our faith, okay, with one another. Would you agree? Yes, you would. To share our faith while simultaneously protecting the faith of others. Now, Jefferson, I think it's Jay Sekulow, is writing a book, Warning of Islam and the Absolute Terror that it brings to a country. The absolute destructive nature of Islam to a country. And it is so, so, so important for us to understand how that religion is designed, to destroy us from within. I mean, Islam is simply the resurrection of Baal worship. And you can do comparisons, which I did long ago. And of course, now Google, you know, anything you look into too deep that makes Islam look bad, guess what they do? Oh, they scrub it. They purge it. It's pretty scary. There's these things that try these things. There's these websites that try to compare the Christian God, the God of the Bible, with the Islamic God. They have people brainwashed to believe that we're worshiping the same God. Well, that's kind of silly. When Jesus says a house divided among itself will fall, it's pretty darn obvious to me that we are not worshiping the same God. I'm not a rocket scientist, but I can tell there's something wrong. If we know the history of Muhammad, how he got there and how he chose the moon god, and it's Baal worship, you know, Islam is Baal worship, period. I mean, it is Baal worship, period. And that is exactly what he wanted, was a powerful God. And it's, you know, there was comparisons that I used to use that are no longer available on the web. Let's see here if I can find them between Baal worship and Islam, and the Mahdi, that was the big one, between the Antichrist and Mahdi, that's the big one here, let's look for that, and the Mahdi, which is their Messiah, which must only come during Armageddon, so we must have Armageddon, we've got to have a holy war, in order to accelerate this appearance or announcement or presentation or whatever you want to call it of the Mahdi, of the Islamic holy God. And that's scary. Amen. Amen. I think we would all agree. How about agree? How about we all agree? You know, the Antichrist, most people haven't even read the Bible, and they've heard of the Antichrist. So, you know, the Antichrist will be Satan's primary human agent on the earth in the last days. And the Bible, the Antichrist, actually only referred to once with that term in 1 John 2:18. I won't get too deep into that. But it talks, you know, when you compare the two, the Antichrist and the Mahdi, well, let's go through this. It says, it's so interestingly in the Bible, the Antichrist is actually only referred to once, like I said, 1 John 2:18. And they use other names like references to the Antichrist found throughout the Bible. Some of the various names in the scripture assigns to the Antichrist are the beast, the abomination that causes desolation, the desolator, the man of sin, the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction, the little horn, the Assyrian, the oppressor, the king of Babylon, and even the mysterious Gog. There are several other names that scripture uses to refer to the Antichrist as well. Every one of those has a scriptural reference I didn't get into. Beyond all of his unusual names, who is the Antichrist? So, he is a powerful political and military world leader. So, from the Bible, we learn that in the last days, the Antichrist will emerge as a man who will lead a very powerful world empire, the likes of which history has never produced. Okay? Now, Satan's practiced with Hitler. I mean, you think Hitler was bad. Crank that up a few notches, right, or more. This powerful leadership role, the Antichrist, is first described clearly in the Bible by the prophet Daniel. In the book of Daniel, chapter 7, Daniel describes a vision of four very bizarre and gruesome beasts. And then after he describes the first three beasts, he says of the fourth beast, "After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening, very powerful. It had large iron teeth, crushed and devoured its victims, trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little horn, which came up among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully." Then in 15:16, Daniel asked an angel in his vision to explain the interpretation of the vision of the four beasts. The angel explained the four beasts represent the four very kingdoms or empires. And then he goes through all that and on down. Now, the, you know, there's just so much information. As the Mahdi is world leader, as we have seen from Islamic tradition and Muslim scholars, the Mahdi, like the Antichrist, is also prophesied to be a political and military world leader, unparalleled by any other throughout world history. The Mahdi is said to fight against the forces of evil, to lead a world revolution, and set up a new world order based on justice, righteousness, and virtue. At this time, according to Islamic tradition, the Mahdi is said to preside over the entire earth as the final caliph of Islam. And of course, as we saw in the last chapter, which I didn't read, excuse me, the Muslims will take the world, will quote, take the world administration in their hands, and Islam will be victorious over all religions. Islam has a system preset to take over the world, okay? So prepare yourselves. Here they come. Will they be prosperous? Sure, for a season. Time, you know, whatever it was, times, two times and a half a time or whatever it says. It's going to happen. You get to the point where he's a world leader. Men worship the dragon. The Mahdi, you know, is this powerful, desirable something that people have to follow. But we've seen people follow absolute kooks, have we not? You know, we've got the Bible that's very clear that Satan, through the Antichrist, will specifically target first Jews, then Christians for death. Okay? So understand, are you a Christian? I sure hope so, but you will be attacked. Now, you are going to probably, many of you are pre-trib rapture and you think you're going to be out of here, so you don't have to worry about a darn thing. You can probably forget about that because that's not real scripturally sound. Oops, made a lot of people mad. Sorry, guys, about doing that, but it just is the way it seems to lay itself out. I won't get into that right now, but it seems to be pretty clear to me. So, you know, you get the great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him, which is really weird why he was hurled to the earth. I mean, we know that, you know, his dwelling place was destroyed. We've been through that in the past scripture, which I would love to get back to one of these days. So Satan's enraged at the woman, some say Israel, right? And he went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, which is those who obey God's commands and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Satan wants you all burning in hell with him, folks, because that's where he's going, and misery loves company. Israel's other offspring are those Christians who indeed obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. That's the only passage that makes specific reference to Satan making a direct target of both Jews and Christians together. And we know this passage is speaking specifically of the end times and I could go on and on, and I really don't want to. The Mahdi's targeted campaign against Jews and Christians, that's a heck of a long article, and I'm, you know, the seven-year treaty, wow, that's a big article. You've got the SEALs. You've got the SEALs that follow the rider. You've got, you know, on and on. That is quite the article. So why don't we do what I always want to do with the short amount of time we have left? Okay, so we've always talked show after show after show. We've got, you know, really good news with Trump. I mean, let's face it. We've got a president who has been fully exonerated. I mean, how long has this gone on? Forever. Forever and ever. Mueller could not end it. But he destroyed Trump's, what do you call it, a character. Jeff Sessions, the attorney general. You know, many people say, oh, he was a good man. He didn't know what he was doing. I don't know. I know that stepping down as quickly as he did to get out of the way because he was involved with the campaign was crazy. Either way, they would have absolutely souffled him. They put him through the ringer. They put him through the blender. Nobody, folks, nobody had the backbone of Donald J. Trump to endure this stuff. Donald Trump is without a doubt the man for office at this point in time. My fear is when he leaves, what happens to that vacuum? Be prepared, because Trump means final overriding factor or resource, your last chance, your last step. After that, what happens? We either repent or we've got a vacuum that blows sky high. So let's get back. We have gone through week after week. I'm always going, you know, we live in a post 9/11 world. I talk about how precious metals have been the pinnacle form of wealth since the beginning of every written human history, the pinnacle form of wealth in every civilized society. They're not an investment because there's no real risk of loss. They go up, they go down, but you always have them because God made them that way. They are real money. They are true wealth. Documented, tried, true, and from the earliest of earliest writings all the way to second chapter of Genesis, when God gives them the highest compliment possible. You know, some people talk about the Hunt brother boom. I don't even want to get into that. I got to erase that off my list here. The dollar has lost almost all of its spending power since the Federal Reserve Act. I mean, 99.5%+. We're down to the final penny. We're down past the final penny. We're down to the final straw, okay? We've got this consumer price index that's supposedly telling us what inflation is. However, they've excluded everything you live on. Food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs is no longer there. Precious metals have never lost their value or become worthless because they are ever stable. The items they remove from the consumer price index, they have real inflation. You are losing money every day. You, as a person, are increasing your debt load. You get Dave Ramsey. He says, get out of debt. Well, he's right. Good luck, okay? Good luck getting out of debt. When you talk about getting out of debt on your house, the rates are getting higher, so it makes more sense. But I'm telling you, folks, with the metals sitting where they're at, with the upside potential of them, I'm telling you, get a second mortgage and buy precious metals, back your house, back those assets up with precious metals. That is exactly what I'm doing. I'm telling you, it's the way to go. You go and you get your maximum second mortgage, you know, at a really good rate. Make sure you're getting a really good rate. And then you use that, you buy gold, you back your asset up with gold. You then get the growth of the home, which is tremendous, correct? You've got a great interest rate. You've got precious metals that have huge upside that any day now are going to take a big run, right? Okay, so we've got they've never lost their value. They've never become worthless. They've always maintained their spending power. Their money in Hebrew and Greek, that's it. There's no other word, just gold and silver. That's it. folks. And it's a sector. It's a we build tremendous portfolios, beautiful portfolios for people. Beautiful, good stuff. Put it away. Now the prices are cheap. I'm going to be straight up with you. The prices on metals and rare coins, they are cheap. Get in while the getting's good. Get in. Load up while you can still breathe. It's getting too expensive. I'm into real estate, construction, remodels, and reflips. Folks, I can't afford it anymore. I don't know what to do. The cost of construction's gone bonkers. Builders are arrogant. They're cocky. They're overcharging. It's just, it's one of those assets. Go, the assets that are biblically attributed as true wealth, gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones, they're all going, they're all moving in directions that work against you, except for precious metals, okay? Precious metals-based assets. Get in now while the getting's good. 401ks and IRAs. Move your money over. Give us a call. 444-0044. Folks, it's so easy to do. You open an account. You have no obligation. We open a trust. You can transfer your money at any time. You can transfer in or out or whatever you want. It's quick. It's easy. It's real. But do it. Please do it now. Not, I'm not begging to do business with me. Go do it somewhere else. I don't care. I think it'd be foolish because we've done everything in our power for over two decades to be absolutely blameless in the way we handle your finances. Even more so, we have done everything in our power to make our pricing as rock bottom wholesale as possible. In fact, by doing so, it changed my profit margins to such an extreme I had to move because I basically have eliminated virtually 95% of the profit or more from my business. I am not in this business for profit any longer. I am in this business strictly to help you. And I have literally changed my entire financial lifestyle. I have some toys and some stuff left over that I need to get rid of, but I'm telling you, I changed my lifestyle so that I can do business with you profit-free. That's what I've become. That's who I am. That's who Coins Plus is. That's what we want to be. We want to be unique that way. Obviously, we've got to pay the light bill and the employees and all that. So you know, you're going to have overhead and you're going to have a markup on products, but just remember what I said, profit free. That's who we want to be. That's who we're trying to be. That's our goal. Okay. So keep that in mind. You're dealing with something that where, you know, the dollar's losing its favor worldwide. I've been to Mexico a few times. Not that that's the best place in the world to determine all this, but in all honesty, Mexico, they don't even want the dollar anymore. I mean, I'm like, what? They don't even care. $100 bills used to be like, woo, you know, like a dog with a brand new dish of food. No more. They're not excited about the dollar anymore. You know, you've got precious metals-based assets, gold and silver, universally recognized and accepted anytime, anywhere in the world. And this is something that, you know, China and Russia and everybody is moving their money into. This is where they're going. They're going straight into precious metals. And we could go on and on and on. We had Obama absolutely destroy our economy on purpose. I discussed the Cloward and Piven strategy. One of these days, I'd love to get into the Saul Alinsky, radical left-wing Marxist who wrote Rules for Radicals or Rules for Rebels, the strategy book that Obama used as his methodical destruction of rule and reign of democracy, as we know, and the republic underpinnings of the U.S. In the opening sentences of the book, which is highly regarded by the left, listen to this, which used to only apply to left-wing extremists, says, quote, the devil challenged authority and got his own kingdom, and that goes to the heart of what the left is really about. That, of course, is to get power in any way you can, including lying, cheating, and stealing. The ultimate rule is that the ends justify the means. That is a quote straight from Saul Alinsky. Hillary Clinton was friends with him. No, she did her PhD thesis on this guy. This guy's crazy. He says, again, you know, it goes to the heart of what the left is socialist is really about, American socialist, is to get power any way you can, including lying, cheating, and stealing. The ultimate rule is that the ends justify the means. One of the main playbooks of the left. Their guidance and inspiration comes from the noted and professed atheist and anti-morality proponents Cloward and Piven and Saul Alinsky. All three synonymously agree America must be destroyed from within to be reshaped into a militaristic, socialistic, communist, and fascist state. Take care. God bless. We'll see you Wednesday. Bye-bye. Love you.